Good morning. Salibonani. Linjani. It's very good to see all of us, but before we begin, let's start with a word of prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us from different backgrounds so that we can be your disciples. We also thank you for our different experiences in which you are trying to reach out to us. Lord, we pray that even as we talk about parenting today, you may really help us to see those things that we need to do in order that our parenting may be pleasing to you. We thank you, Lord. We pray for your Holy Spirit to guide and lead us. Amen. Amen. We are supposed to be out of here exactly by 12, so we are going to try and make every minute count. Our title, I believe you've already seen, is Single Parents Grounded in God's Word. Single parents are very different from a family that has got two parents. We are very unique in that everything that needs to be done as by a parent, it's us we've got to do it. Somebody has got to stay home and make sure that when the electrician comes, he's shown where the meter board is. It means that it's us. Somebody has got to pick up the kid from their sports and to their party or whatever. It means that we are hired. So there's a lot of pressure that tends to come with that. And also sometimes, especially in our African culture, I know for me, sometimes we may not even acknowledge that we are parents. We may ask the grandma to take care of the kids or somebody else. But the thing that we want to talk about today is that whether you've got two kids or one kid, if there's two of you, what are you? Family. And you are the parent in there. The first problem that we can have as parents who are on their own is that we may have the problem of loneliness. I want to talk about being grounded against loneliness. Because the burdens of parenthood are heavy, and without a spouse to help share the emotional load, the physical, and also sometimes the financial load, it can become a very big problem. Of course, children are wonderful companions, but they often do not understand some of the feelings that we go through as adults. So you find that you bear all these things on your own, and there's nobody that will be able to understand what you are really going through. And sometimes the reasons for us being single parents may be because one had to go through a messy divorce. It may be also that perhaps there was sexual sin prior to us having the child. It may also be because of a death. And all these things have got their own pressures on us as parents who are raising children on our own. Amen. So, but for those who belong to God, our lives will be very different. And our attitude should also be very different. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5 to 8. I'll ask my sister Yvonne to tell me when to stop so that. Amen. Isaiah 54, we are looking at verses 5 to 8, and this is a very encouraging scripture. And it says here from verse 5, "For your Maker is your husband, The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit. A wife who married young only to be rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back. In a surge of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. As I have already said, life can be very challenging. If you are a sister and you are raising a child on your own, you don't have a husband to share the pressures that you face with. But this is amazing that God, this is where God comes in. And the Bible is telling us clearly that God himself becomes your husband. Now, who can ask for a better husband than this? A husband who understands everything that you can ever think of. Any feeling that you can have, God understands very completely. And it doesn't matter even if you are a brother. If you are raising a child on your own, God is concerned about you. He cares for you, and he wants to help you be a great parent to your child or to your children. Amen. So, sometimes I know that we think, oh, the ideal situation is for me to be married. Then my wars will come to an end. If I were married, then things would be much, much better. But God is telling us clearly that he takes the role of that husband who is not there. He himself takes the role of that wife who is not there. So, let's not give up on our responsibilities as parents. It doesn't matter how small that family is, as long as there is a mother or a father and a child, then that must run as a family, and God himself is the one who takes care of that family. That is the safest ground that we can stand on as we raise our children on our own. So God becomes your source of everything. He is the one who helps your finances to do well. And another resource that we can have as disciples is the family of God. The disciples, other disciples who are there. And I want to encourage us, if you are a Christian today, do not be a loner. Do not stay in the peripherals. Be where the things are happening in the church. Be involved in fellowship. Be involved in everything that is happening. Sometimes people may not be able to understand some things that we go through unless they have experienced the same things. But don't let that deter you. Talk to somebody. God himself will help some people. He will bring people around you who will be able to help you. And if you've got families in church that have got children, where there are two parents in that family, it is also good for us, for the sake of our children, to make great friends with such families so that we may both be comfortable to spend the night at each other's homes and allow these two-parent families to care for your children, to help you care for your children, and to be a great source of advice. They may not be able to pay your bills. They may not be able to do some of the physical chores, but at least they will take away some of the pressure as you feel now that there are some people who are concerned about the fact that my family, my children need to be raised up in a manner that will please their maker. Amen. So, this you will find in Psalm 68, verse 6. I think the gist of it is that God says, the lonely in families. And this is how he has done it for us. Look at us here. I mean, some of you today, before today, you didn't even know me. But here I am as your brother. And you are my sister and you are my brother also. And we are sharing together these things that can help us bring up our children as lone parents. Amen. So do not let this very important resource be out there, not being used in helping your child or your children to become disciples. Amen. Number two, grounded against guilt and self-pity. So, like I've already said, sometimes the reasons for us being single parents may be because of divorce. And it's easy to start feeling like it was my weaknesses that contributed into this marriage not working. Sometimes also it may be because of sexual sin. And then this guilt and self-pity will stop you from getting on the job of raising up your children in a manner that pleases God. Sometimes it may be due to death, and you still feel that there's something that you could have done. And then you live every day with the reminder of your rebellion or whatever you think could have done differently. And these have got a tendency to slow us down in our job as parents. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, it tells us that when Samuel was old, his children were not living in accordance with the way that Samuel himself lived. And the elders of the nation of Israel gathered and they say, hey, you are old and your sons do not live in your ways. And then they said something else. They said, appoint a king for us. The amazing thing is that Samuel was not faulted for the faults of his children. Sometimes it's very easy for us as parents to feel, oh, if I was in a marriage, perhaps my children would do differently. Perhaps if I had a husband, perhaps if I had a wife. But the thing is that we can never be perfect parents. That we raise up children that are perfect. That is God's job. And he knows how to do that. But our job is not to waste time worrying about that white fence picket life, the perfect life that should have been. No, we need to realize that the thing about raising children is all in God's hands. Psalm 103, I don't have time to read it, but Psalm 103 tells us that God completely forgives our sins. He will not remember the mess up of the past, and that's how we didn't have to be perfect. That's how he has given us grace through Jesus Christ. And what we need to do is we should not waste time concerned about our past, because God is taking care of that through the grace of Jesus. What we need to do is to take time focusing on the fact that we are parents, and that God has given us very precious little ones that must know God, especially if you are a Christian today. You have been given that responsibility by God. My last point, grounded against being overwhelmed. No, sorry. Your woman is just looking at me and telling me that I'm going into your territory now. Please don't write that point. I need to organize myself now. Amen. My time is what I don't have, but am I done? So I'm done. Thank you. Yvonne will come now. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Godongwe. I know it's so encouraging, you know, just to hear the words of wisdom, you know, from my brother. I know my brother is standing here like, am I finished? It was so awkward, you know, to be able to tell him that, yes, you know, your time is up. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, I will read from verse 23 until 27. Amen. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us! We are drowning!" He replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And I think we see Jesus got into the boat, and then his disciples followed him. But without any warning, a storm came. Now, I was just thinking, I was like, if the disciples knew that the storm was going to come, I wonder how would that be? They would have probably prepared themselves. That storm came unexpectedly, and they weren't even ready to deal with that. They were so afraid. You know, they screamed, "Lord, help us!" Because it was tough for them. You know, I mean, when you go into, you know, like the sea, you always see waves and da-da-da. But, you know, sometimes when you go to the lake, it's not very easy to, you know, think that anything like that can happen. You know, it was very difficult for them. Now, the other thing that I also learned was, even though they were with Jesus, but that did not exempt them from facing storms. You know, at times you think that when we are in church, you know, with the disciples, and then we think, You know, the storms, you know, will be there, but not, you know, the bad ones. But let me tell you, life is full of storms. You know, whether we are a disciple or not a disciple, and, you know, storms will come. You know, some of them will be unexpected. Some of them, you know, will be things that we know that they're going to come. You know, but it is important how we deal with these storms. I'm so glad that they went to Jesus and woke him up. You know, that they didn't think of going somewhere else. You know, and when Jesus woke up, he's like, "Why are you afraid?" You know, I can't. Now, I don't know what tone that Jesus used, but when I read for me, you know, it sounds like Jesus was very calm. And then say, "Why did you doubt? You have little faith. Why are you afraid?" You know, and that for me, it was very comforting that they went to him, and he woke up and he just, you know, he rebuked the storm, and everything came back to calm. She was 12 when she asked me that she can study the Bible. I always get emotional when I talk about that. Oh, gosh. You know, it's amazing. I got some of my friends like, "Pray, baby, pray that. Don't cry." But anyway, so she came and said, "Mom, can I please study the Bible?" I said, "Yes." And we were so excited. At 13, she got baptized. A dream of every parent to see their children becoming disciples. And life was good. You know, Lolo knows that we did devotionals together. We did, you know, parenting, divorce. We did women's day together. Life was good. You know, people looked at us and said, "You guys are so close. You guys are friends. I'll be so happy." I'm like, you know, close. And you know that. I mean, she wasn't my best friend. You know what I'm saying? And I learned that just later. I mean, as a parent, a child is a child, and then a friend is a friend. You know, because a child cannot, you know, tell you everything that's going on. But, you know, she was very devoted. You know what I'm saying? To the work in a teen ministry. That teen ministry was very vibey. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Rosalind and her husband, Terrence, we were doing an amazing job. The disciples were committed. I mean, I couldn't have asked for more. You know what I'm saying? It's like, here I am with my daughter, you know, with the disciples. We are happy. We've always been close. 4 years later, some of the friends who were disciples, they started leaving church one by one. And I could tell that, you know, there was a change, you know, in her. Because it was very difficult. You must remember, she knew nothing. She had no best friends outside. All she knew was the life in the kingdom. They would go to, you know, at disciples' parties together. Everything was done together. And now suddenly, they're no longer part of the church. But she was still, you know, attached to them. So for me, I thought it's not going to be the best thing for her to keep those relationships. And she want to continue to be a disciple. So I would discourage her, you know, from being part of that. And I worked with, you know, the leaders as well to say, you know, she's not doing very well. She's not seen in the Bible with people anymore. I see that she's not the child that I knew. You know, so we were thinking she's so weak, you know, so we can help her. But I remember this one evening, you know, I was standing in the kitchen, and she came and she asked me if she could go out with some of her friends. And I said, no. And she says, why? I said, because they're not disciples. You know, so it's not going to be good for you. And she said, but there's no difference between me and them. Darling, you don't want to hear those words. I said, what do you mean? She goes, Ma, I'm not a Christian. I'm the same as them. Alfie was, you know, was somewhere in the kitchen. You know, at that time, Alfie was like, she left, she went into the, you know, in the other room. Let me tell you, it was so difficult. Now, I wasn't ready for that. I had never thought that my daughter would leave. I was thinking, what did I miss? I mean, her whole life flashed in front of me. I baptized her right here at the church property in front of the witness of many people. We did the devotionals together. You know, we would pray, we would do things together. What did I miss? It was so difficult. You know, I went through different emotions. Number one, I was in denial. I said, there's no way. You know what I'm saying? That this can happen. I was shocked. I was confused. I was disappointed. I mean, you name those different emotions. You know, I was so afraid because I thought, what kind of decisions is she going to make? And I was thinking, oh, Lord, please, please protect her, because I was thinking she's going to become a teen mother, because that's who I became. A teen parent. And I was like, God, I don't want her to go through that. Life was very difficult. You know what I'm saying? I was extremely sensitive. You know, every time when they speak about parenting, I was sitting and thinking, You know what I'm saying? I would feel like, what is it that I missed? You know, I was, you know, doing the devotion. I don't know, you go through many different things, right? It wasn't an easy thing. I did not prepare for that. Now, I don't know what's your story. I know some of you are sitting and you're thinking, my daughter or my son or my children are still young. Yours is already, I mean, she's 29, you know, and you're thinking yours is older, you know, your story. But it was very difficult. Now, the thing about my daughter is she thought, because now she made the decision not to be a disciple, she has a freedom to go wherever she can go to. Little did she know what was awaiting her. What was awaiting her was discipline. Now, I learned a lot when it comes to discipline. Now, let's read the Bible in Proverbs 29. Now, the Bible says we need to discipline our children because they will give us peace. Now, discipline was something that, Mina, I did not really know until that time. Because every weekend, my daughter will come and say, Mama, party. I want to go to the party. And I said, no. And because I said no, she started rebelling. She was disrespectful. She was not happy. I mean, she would just, you know, be so moody. I did not know how to handle that. But let me tell you something. I thought, I am not going to back down. A no, it's a no. You know, I mean, I did many different things to really, you know, discipline my daughter. You know, and I know that, you know, some of them you may not do them, you know, because every family is different, every child is different. You know, I took away privileges. I did. I mean, there were some disciples who even said to me, Yvonne, you are really hard. And I thought, I'm living with this child, man. I said, whatever that I'm going to do, I said, may the Lord be with me. But you know what? As this thing of discipline continued, there was a time where I felt really tired. I was really tired of fighting. I was really tired of saying no. You know, every weekend there's this party coming. And I thought, I just don't want to say no. I am so tired. You know, there were times where I would turn a blind eye to certain things because I thought, physically, I don't have the strength. You know, I'm just going to turn that blind eye. But the thing about, you know, where I was at, I was surrounded by women who really helped me to make sure that I do what is right. You know, I remember, you know, Embujit, you know, she was one of the women who helped me. You know, when my daughter left, as I said, that she thought she was going to have, you know, freedom. You know, when I would start talking to her about, you need to be humble, or I would use discipleship, she said, but Mom, I'm not a disciple. Why are you using that on me? And then I'll go back and say, you, Embujit. I mean, I would be rocked back because I was like, hmm. And Embujit said, no, this is what you need to say. In my house, this is what we do. And I told her, I said, you know, daughter, in my house, we go to church. Was she happy to go to church? No. My daughter is beautiful, and she's very tall. Most of you know her. And I will sit with her in front, and she will get to church, and she'll do this. I would stand like this. And everybody would look at her, and at that time, I would be so embarrassed. I would be praying in my heart. I said, God, please help her. We'll get to the house and we sit down. I said, okay, now, let me say this. This is what we do at church. All right, ma. Those were the faces. We talked, you know, and then, you know, time went on. She got a little bit happier, stopped clapping hands, stopped hugging people. She would walk into the house and not greet. And I said, okay, in my house, this is what we do. Because Embrigitte had taught me that. Althea had taught me that a parent wins. I'm telling you, I said, there is no way that I'm going to lose a battle. If we say this is not going to happen like this, it's not going to happen like that. But there were times where she would call me, and I would go and give a feedback of how I'm doing. And Althea said, she called you, man. You need to be a parent. I needed Althea at that time. Remember, I was tired. I did not want to do certain things. I needed Portia. She's a married woman. But there were times, like Mr. Kodongo was saying, that you get lonely. There were times where I thought, oh, can I just talk to someone? I would call Portia, who's married, couple 12. I remember Diane Otonwela was available. The late Diane Otonwela was available to be able to help me. And she taught me that, do not take anything personal. This is a phase, it's going to pass, and you need to love unconditional. I also had my mother as a support. My mother was basically there to remind me that I understand, Mdana. Like, you got pregnant as a teen. You know, like, I understand. You know, my mother would look at me sometimes and laugh. Because I would forget and say, I don't know what's wrong with this. What has happened? I mean, where is she? My mother said, most of you who knows my mother is such a joyful person. God brought all those people to be able to help me, you know, to be able to do what is right. It's not like I wanted to do what is right. Everything inside me, you know, just wanted to say, okay, I'll do the bare minimum. I remember I would read the scriptures. One thing that I love is I just soak myself in the scriptures. Read, read, read. When it comes to prayer, at times I was tired. I would go to God and say, God, help me. Help me, because I did not have the strength. I didn't have the strength to fight. I didn't have the strength to be able to say, it will be okay. But those sisters, they helped me by hand, and they helped me through, because they knew that at some point I'll be able to overcome. It was not an easy, easy period. You know, but it went by. I'm sorry, some of you are crying. So far, so God, I don't want to cry. But it was a nightmare. But God is faithful. You know, the passage that also, you know, encouraged me was, you know, Proverbs 10, verse 25. It says, when the storms that has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand forever. It's Proverbs 10, 25. You know, when the storms are over, the wicked will not survive, but the righteous will stand firm. So you and I need to fight for righteousness. Do what is right irrespectively. You know, in the very same chapter, you know, chapter 10, verse 30, it says the righteous will never be uprooted. You know, so you almost see that, you know, if you just do what you need to do, God is going to help us to stand firm. Nothing else is going to help us. The word of God, you know. And I'm so proud of, you know, so many of you who are here that I know. I know you have persevered. I know some of your children have left, you know, the fellowship, but you are still standing. because you chose the righteous way. You know, and some of you are in a better position. Your children are disciples. We say amen to that. You know, and we say continue to fight. You know, because the battle is not yet over. We need to pray that, you know, we prepare ourselves so that when these storms come, you know, we will make sure that, you know, we are ready. We may not know what is ahead of us, but we do know that the storms are going to come. Now, all of us have been disciplined at some point in life, whether, you know, you were young or you were old, right? And I'm sure some of us remember, you know, or there's this one particular discipline that you never forgot. You just, I mean, when you think about this thing, you're thinking, yo, I remember this. And it doesn't go away from you. So, and it has shaped you in a different way. What I want to do is I want to take this time. I know I'm distracted. She keeps telling me time's up. And, yeah. What I want to do is I just want to open it up to you guys. You know, just for, you know, a few, whatever. If you want to share with us what is that one discipline that it just doesn't go out of your mind? You remember it, and how has that shaped you? So maybe we can take two people who would like to just share. Anybody? Remember, we've been disciplined. You remember that, right? Is your hand up? Is it you? Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Oh, I thought you wanted that. Maggie? Did you want to share? Oh, yes. Go ahead. Yes, it doesn't matter. Discipline is discipline. Yeah.
And then I was called in by my boss. They called the work place for our people to come to and discipline me. It was in a round table and I was really scared and I was being confronted about the things that I do. And they sat me down and they asked me what was going on, didn't I like my job, why was I always coming late and stupid work. You know, and after that discipline, after what they did and what they said to me that, you know, you could lose your job, and then what would you do? Because now you've got kids and then
you
And if you don't stop and start coming to work on time and doing the things that we expect you to do and we say you need to do, and you would actually miss out. And then after that, you know, I learned that I need a job. Especially now I'll become your fellow parent.
Amen. Come on. Amen. You see, now that discipline has produced, you know, some harvest right there. Now she knows. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I was disciplined by God. But in a very, very hard way.
Yeah. Yeah.
When people say to me, yeah, but this is what you wanted to do,
Yeah.
I don't have money.
Yeah.
But I know you are rich in all that.
That's right. Amen.
So this is what I'm asking for.
Let it be done. Wow. Amen. What an amazing story. I know that, you know, we don't have time, but I really want to encourage all of you that, you know, share your story. You know, the other thing is think about the discipline that you gave your children. And how did that shape them as well? You know, because the more, you know, we get into this and we look at the benefits, you know, the more we will not shy away from disciplining our children. And I know that at times as single parents, when or even any parents, when we discipline our children or after we discipline them, we feel bad. We feel guilty. You know, you feel like, oh my goodness, what if she commits suicide? I went through those thoughts. You know, I went through this. You know, Satan makes you to be afraid. But we need to remember that, you know, there's no child who's going to die simply because we discipline them. You know, I am so excited. I love my daughter so dearly. You know, we are still very close. You know, my daughter is one of the responsible citizens. And I cannot wait for her to become a disciple. She is very generous. I mean, she's giving even to the disciples more care again. You know, she values my opinion. She values the word of God. Like every time when she needs something, she will, you know, talk to me, Ma, you know, what advice can you give me? What scripture can I use? You know, we talk like she knows the truth. And I know that the word that has been planted in her, it's going to grow at the proper time. So do not lose heart. You know what I'm saying? I mean, only the righteous, you know, will stand firm, you know, when the storm has swept away. To God be the glory. Amen.
Thank you very much, Yvonne. We've got still 4 minutes. So what I want to say is that it doesn't matter that you are a single parent. Everyone has got problems. The marriages have got problems. Some of the marriages are hell on earth. Would you rather be in a bad marriage than a single parent? No ways. So don't let the fact that you're a single parent stop you from raising your child in a manner that pleases God. You don't want them to be unruly, to be disrespectful, simply because they've got one parent. You said we've got zero time.